Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And Jim did a tremendous teaching. Pastor Dan's been teaching, but Jim taught last week on the mishandling the miracle of salvation. And it's a CD I believe everybody needs to hear and hear again. It's an extremely anointed teaching and warning from the Holy Spirit. And so this morning we're going to be in Hebrews and in chapter 2 and looking at verse 3 and 4. But I'm going to read the entire first four verses to you. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Hebrews. And it says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Verse 4, and God also, bearing witness both with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Now, there's a question mark after that because it's all one thought. And as we've had teaching on this, the apostle or whoever wrote this book of Hebrews is saying, how can we neglect and escape so great a salvation? How can we let it drift away from us, which was the warning? It can drift away. Nobody intentionally leaves the things of God, I don't believe. Sometimes you nibble yourself away off the path like a sheep, just nibbling and looking for food somewhere else. And there's an extreme warning in here that we can neglect this great salvation. And then he goes on to say, the author of Hebrews, that was first spoken of by Jesus, and then those who heard him, speaking of the apostles, and God also bearing witness, both with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to look at verse 3 and 4, since we've received the warning and we've had great teaching on that. I want to take a parenthesis and I want to look at that part that is so succinctly stated, that God also bearing them witness both with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the title of this message is Living Supernaturally in a Natural World. Living supernaturally in a natural world. Now, when I looked up the word supernatural, this is what the Webster's Dictionary said in the source. It said, supernatural, relating to or attributed to phenomena that cannot be explained by natural laws. And then if you look at the thesaurus and you look at words that replace the supernatural or mean the supernatural, I thought this was an interesting community of words. Supernatural, paranormal, mystic, mystical, ghostly, ghost-like, uncanny, weird, bizarre, eerie, magical, unnatural, psychic, unearthly. And the antonym for supernatural is natural. So that tells me that in my English language, in my culture, that when you say the word supernatural, you're getting a lot of these thoughts. Mystic, ghostly, paranormal, eerie, bizarre, magical, unnatural, unearthly, uncanny, ghost-like. And yet here in the book of Hebrews is a very, very clear picture that we are in a supernatural kingdom, that our God is the God of the supernatural, that is not eerie and is not ghost-like and is not mystical and is not frightening or paranormal, but he is God making heaven and earth, and he's brought us into his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God, and it is a supernatural kingdom, and God bore witness to the fact that we have this great salvation through Jesus Christ by confirming this witness with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, that tells me that God is expecting me as a believer in the 21st century to live like they lived in the first century, to live in a kingdom that is supernatural. Not like the world says, bizarre and eerie and mystic and ghost-like, but to live in this amazing kingdom of God that is supernatural and that brings forth signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit that confirm our testimony and our lives that Jesus Christ has both saved us, filled us, reconciled us, and restored us, and as he works through us, the miracles work into our world and our generation. Now, my question is, how supernaturally natural are we living? And that's where I want to go today. Because I believe we know this, but I don't believe necessarily that the rock at this point is living it in the fullest capacity that we can. Now, at the beginning of this year, we did something that was difficult. We stopped all of our conferences. We stopped our women's conference. We canceled our women's conference, our men's conference, our pastor's conference. We canceled all of our guest speakers. We pulled back from everything. And we stepped away and we took a step back because God had spoken to our pastor, my husband, our senior pastor, and said, I want you to step back and I want you to evaluate and look at how you are doing church. Because things aren't the same. Things are not the same. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look at this world, it can get a little scary out there. Japan just had an earthquake that was larger than anything we've seen. And their aftershock 3 days ago was 7.1. God said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. God said that you can observe the times and the weather when he was talking to his own people in Israel. When Jesus was speaking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the crowds that were listening to him, he said you can discern the weather and you can see the signs of the weather. When the sky is red, you know there's a storm coming. He said, but you cannot discern the times and the signs that you're living in because they missed their visitation of Jesus. And I submit to you, church, family, rock, we are in a new season and we are in a new time. And we have got to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying and what is happening in our world. And I believe things are not the same. And I believe today God wants me to stir you up and ask you the question, are you supernaturally living every day of your life to the fullest capacity of the power of God and the gifts of God that can be operating in your life? Because if the answer is no, then you've come for the right reason and you've come and God's going to change that if you want it changed. He's going to change me. He's going to change Jim. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, speaking to the church at Corinth, he says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the power in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's up on the overhead if you didn't bring your Bibles. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's a powerful statement, church. And my speech and my speaking were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, in the church today, in the 21st century, we have persuasive wisdom. We have great men and women of God that can homiletically put together an incredible message, can thrill us with their stories, with how they can retell the scriptures. There is a gift of speech on people's life, and it's wonderful. We've got the really cool church now with the lights and the music and all of that, and I'm not putting any of this down. But I'm asking you, has that replaced the power of God and the demonstration of the Spirit of God when the gospel is going forth? Because it's easy to replace the supernatural with the cool. It's easier to have wise and gifted speakers than it is to see the demonstration of the power of God as the gospel goes forth, coming out of our mouths, out of this church, and out of our testimony as we go into the highways and byways. Come to church and hear my pastor. Come to church and see the music. Come to church and look at how cool we are. See, that's easy. We know how to do that. But how? And what are we doing with the supernatural? Because as I see this, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to get into this in just a minute, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, this is what I submit to you. If the early church was birthed in the power of God, if they needed the supernatural, if they needed the signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, if they were in a hostile environment, and they were, the very word martyr, Momartris in the Greek, and you don't speak Greek and I don't either, but it means martyr. That's where we get the word martyr. It's a witness. The word means witness. It also means martyr. It morphed into martyr. If they needed the power of God in a hostile environment where they lost their lives, how much more will the generation that sees the return of Jesus Christ need the power of God and the supernatural as he returns? Because we may not just be me up, Scotty, escaping out of this planet before he comes. Come on, somebody. We are now an international world. We are now a global economy. We are now a global language of computers. Things are morphing and changing before us every day. America could be on a precipice of something extremely shaking. How much more does the church need the power of God and the supernatural naturally in our everyday lives? And that's my question, and that's what I'm asking our church, and I'm asking heaven about. So, having said that, let me go into this teaching. Are you ready? So let's look. How was this thing brought forth? Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 2, go back there with me. It says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. Stop there. So this thing was spoken at the beginning by Jesus Christ himself. This is important because this is the very crux of everything, is salvation, is what it means that God became flesh. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and his words were spirit and life, and he began and he did miracles as he spoke out the will of God and what he was here for. God confirmed Jesus through signs and wonders. We sang it this morning. He turned water into wine at that wedding. Everywhere he went, they were astounded because of the miracles and the supernatural things that were happening through Jesus. No man had ever done this, documented. And it says in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, if these were last days 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we to those last days now? Verse 2 of chapter 1, have in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. God became flesh and walked among us and preached. And that is why the gospel is called the good news. The good news. Every time you and I speak about Jesus and tell the story of salvation, it is good news. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news preached to them, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. It was first spoken of by Jesus, and God confirmed Jesus with signs and wonders. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, then believe the works that I do. The next thing, it says that then, as we move on, it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Now he's speaking about the apostles. He's speaking about the eyewitnesses. God says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. In other words, truth comes always by the mouth of two or three witnesses. You can't just preach a doctrine teaching on one verse. It doesn't work. God confirms his truth. He laid it in his law, and he lays it out now in this natural world. We have witnesses in jury cases, in trials. They were eyewitnesses. John writes in 1 John that we held and we beheld him and we touched and we were with and we heard and we saw the manifestation of God made flesh. They actually touched the living God, and he talks about it. They were eyewitnesses. And in the book of Acts, as Luke is writing, if I can read this to you, it'll be up on the overhead. It says in Acts chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, it says, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of these things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why is this important? Because they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. This book, this Bible, has 66 books, 40 plus writers, and was written over a span of 1,500 plus years. And from Genesis to Revelation, every author who did not know each other wrote of the same stream and the scarlet cord that runs through the Old Testament and the New, that God loves man, is redeeming man, is restoring man, and that God became flesh, died on a cross for man, and brought man back into restoration through that cross. That is the Old and the New Testament. The angel of God looked at John the Revelator in the book of Revelation. When John wanted to worship him, he said, stop that. Worship Jesus. I'm a fellow servant, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophets. In other words, this book is about Jesus Christ. It is his story. Right? So, not only did they speak the word of God, but they didn't just speak it with persuasive words. Now it says, the next statement, and God bearing witness with them, with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a pattern that I see clearly. I see Jesus first speaking it. Then I see him passing it on to his disciples, the church, which is you and I now, 21st century. And I see God confirming, following with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? That means that signs follow these things. Do you know what it means to follow? If Jim was in front of me right now and I'm following him, he's in front of me. Just use your imaginations. I'm not going to call him up here to do that. My husband's in front of me right now and I'm following him. Where is he? In front of me. Sorry, honey, you're not up here. Use your imagination. I'm following. What does that mean? It means the supernatural signs of God that confirm the gospel, the good news, follow the testimony and the preaching of the word of God. That means that when you give testimony, when your life speaks, when you speak of the Lord, when you go into the highways and the byways, when we're here at the Rock, wherever we are, and the gospel is going forth, that signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit are supposed to follow and confirm what you've said. That's what that verse says to me. It is supernatural. So, having said that, let's look at what are signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at how do we do this. Because again, my question today, and obviously it's troubling me, is what are we doing with the supernatural? In this house, in my life, in your life, how supernaturally natural am I living? Am I living at full capacity? Or is there more? What's a sign? Well, a sign is an event, an act, or another manifestation that points the way, confirms, or causes recognition of God. A sign, an act, or a manifestation that points the way. When you're on a freeway, you've got freeway signs that tell you where to go. It points the way on how to get somewhere. It's the same with God. When God brings a sign, it will point the way to God. It will bring recognition. It will glorify God. Sometimes it can be a natural sign, and sometimes it will be supernatural. In the case of Hebrews in the second chapter, these were supernatural signs. You can be a very natural sign. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 18, Isaiah writes and says, "Me and the children that the Lord God has given me are for signs and wonders to this generation." His life was a sign. The Cobray family is a sign to this church. Jim married three times before he was 25. Me, dealing drugs. Lived with everybody. God taking two very broken, losing people, bringing us together, cleansing us, and causing us to be pastors. I mean, who would ever think we'd be pastors? The most unlikely people. Come on. The fact that God can use us is the fact that God can use anybody. We're a sign that God can take broken, stupid people and restore them and use them in their lives. We're a sign. It's a natural sign. How about the rainbow? A rainbow is a natural sign. We know that God set the rainbow in the sky, and this is what God said in Genesis. He said, "And this is a sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For perpetual generations, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and you." Every time we see a rainbow, it's a sign pointing to God. And that sign is saying he'll never bring a flood again. He will not destroy the earth with water. He's just bringing fire, so get ready. That rainbow belongs to God. It doesn't belong to anybody else. Come on, somebody. What's a wonder? A wonder is something great, unaccountable for, something that causes you to marvel. It is an extraordinary occurrence, a wonder. One of the wonders of the Old Testament was when God opened the Red Sea. Come on, he made the sides of that water walls of jello or whatever it was. They walked on dry ground. That's a wonder. What's a miracle? A miracle, in the biblical sense, is an event that is contrary to the regularly observed process of nature. It is an event that is contrary to the regular process of nature. When Jesus was in the synagogue, and there was a man with a withered limb, and it was withered, it was deformed. He called that man forward, and when he touched that man and healed that man, there was a manifestation of a new arm that grew. That's a creative miracle as well as healing. When Jesus healed the lepers and he touched them, Those noses that were missing and lips and ears that had gone off and stubs of hands and fingers that were gone, all of a sudden they were not just cleansed, but they were restored. And there were miracles and manifestations of things that were impossible in the natural. They were created by the supernatural into the natural world. That tells me, church, that if you are believing for a creative miracle in your life or in the life of your child or your family, and it seems impossible, then that's what a miracle is. God can regrow a leg. He can re-put together a body. He can restore cells. God is a God of miracles, but are we believing it? These were signs and wonders and miracles. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. 9 gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to go into them. I'm going to mention them. But they are the word of wisdom. That's when you don't know what to do and God brings somebody or brings you a word that tells you what's going on and how to fix it. A word of knowledge. Knowledge is information. When God brings information that you could not possibly know about somebody else or about your own situation. How about this? The gift of faith. That's when something's happening in your life and we have the measure of faith, but you're going to need more than the measure of faith because you need a miracle. And man, God will put a gift of faith on you and you'll believe it. Nobody else will. People may think you're crazy, but there's something operating on you. You can't get out from underneath it. There is faith on the inside of you, faith on the outside of you, and you can believe it in because God needs it in the earth, the gift of faith. How about this? Gifts of healings. God heals, like we heard Pastor David give testimony. Working of miracles, we've just talked about that. Prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here we see God. Signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, confirming, following the preaching and the testifying and the testimony of Jesus Christ that He is alive, He's resurrected, He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and salvation, the good news, has come to this earth. The kingdom of God has come unto us. So I ask, how supernaturally natural are we living? Is your life predictable? Is your Christianity gotten predictable? That's just the only word I can think of. You know what that means? It means things are good. You believe. You've been filled with the Spirit. Speaking the Word. Believing God. But life is so predictable. You know when life gets predictable? It's when life gets safe. Because it takes courage to step out and do something you've never done so that God can come in and do what He's never done through you. And I think some of our lives have gotten a little too predictable. And God wants to shake you up, fill you up, and change you, and change this church. So how do we do that? I'm going to give you 3 things. Out of time. Done. You're going to have to go fast. You ready? Number 1. I'm going to have to believe. Oh, Pastor Debbie, that's always what you say, believe. Yeah, that's what I say. You know why? Because believing is faithing. It's my word. I know it doesn't exist. Believing is faithing. Faithing doesn't exist. But believing is the act of faith. For instance, if a military man joins the military, a young man joins the Marines, he joins the Marines because he believes that he needs to defend his country and he believes in his nation. That young man is willing to put on his uniform, learn how to fight, learn how to use his weapons, learn how to go into a very hostile area, and he is willing to lay his life down because he believes in the United States of America and in defending this nation. That's an example of believing. If I'm going to believe, then I'm going to have to believe that this is what God wants for me, this is what God does for us, and this is how God confirms the gospel of Jesus Christ and the witness and the testimony of my life. Case in point. Mark chapter 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he'd risen. And he said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow them that believe. These signs will follow. I already showed you what following was. You got to do it first, and then the signs follow, right? I got to speak it. I got to put myself out there. I got to witness on my job. I got to be out there in the highways and the byways. And somebody asked me, I got to tell them why I'm happy all the time. I got to tell them why my life is blessed. Every opportunity I get to testify and to declare the salvation that I have experienced, God says these signs will follow. What a thought. Because he's the head, we're the church. You are the living epistle sent by God, according to Corinthians now. He's not here, but you are. Now, here's the deal about believing. Is that I grew up in a great denomination, and they taught me about Jesus and salvation, but they also taught me that the Holy Spirit was here, but that the signs and the wonders had passed away with the last apostle. I was taught that, and with good intentions, they taught that to me. So I couldn't believe for the miraculous because I didn't believe it was the will of God. And you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the will of God. So you got to change the way you think and you got to get permission from the word to begin to believe. Now God needs faith on the earth to do what he needs to do. And I need to know it's God's will for me to have faith, right? Which comes through the word. So let's just go to the word and see what it says about signs, wonders, miracles for us, okay? If I'm going to believe this, I had to realize that it was the will of God that he has me in this generation available for signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit. So this is what helped me. When God showed me a verse, Romans 11:29, that said, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Oh, then I read it in the message. God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty. They're never canceled and they're never rescinded. You mean, God, what you did in the first century, you'll do in the 21st century? Yes. Then how about this one? Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the head, we're the body. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1. That he is the head of the church, and we are the body of Christ on the earth. We are the living epistles of God. And if I do not open my mouth, if I do not begin to demonstrate with the power of the Holy Spirit that he is alive and well, who is going to do it? From generation to generation, from age to age, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so is the Holy Spirit, and so is the Father. Therefore, what they did in the book of Acts, God wants us to do today in the 21st century. I've got to believe. Number two, I've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight, Pastor Jim is teaching on this. And if you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get your cute little body here tonight, because God wants to do something miraculous in your life. And if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get wet again. But let me just quickly go through this with you, very, very quickly. You receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. This is you. This is me. We get saved, and the Holy Spirit fills us up. We are born again. He cleans us up, brings us into the kingdom of God. You can't get saved without him. He begins his work of changing us, convicting us, teaching us, rearranging us, called sanctification. But Jesus told his disciples, after they'd been born again, because he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit in John, the 20th chapter. And then he said, but wait and tarry in Jerusalem. Because you need to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For you to be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were saved. They knew he'd raised from the dead. They knew. They believed they were saved, but they had not been filled. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, he's already in me. But when the Spirit of God fills me, I now get immersed in him. And he is all around me, in me, over me, through me. By and by, up and down, all around, he is filling me. And he splashes out all over me with his power to witness and signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, tonight is going to be an amazing night. Some of you have been filled, but you need to get wet again because you're a little dry on the outside. life's gotten a little too predictable, and it's time to stir up the gift inside of us and let the Spirit of God come and do what He wants to do. Last thing, and I'm going to close with this. So much to say. Last thing. Number one, believe. I got to know this is for today, and it is. Number two, I've got to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism. Number three, I've got to expect the supernatural naturally. What does that mean, expect the supernatural? Well, it means you don't get weird and you don't fly around the room and you don't foam at the mouth. When the Spirit of God comes on you and the Spirit of God fills you inside and out, now you begin to step out and walk out your salvation with a very supernatural, natural ability. Case in point, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was from a church that taught me it didn't work, so God kind of snuck me into it because I didn't know I was getting filled with the Holy Spirit, or I never would have done that because, you know, it wasn't for today. Anyway, I just wanted all of God, and that's what the pastor asked, and that's what I got. And so I went home by myself, and I knelt down, and I started to pray alone, and I got one little word, Awe Kui Wa, and it was tongues. Now I have a whole language. Hila masotonde brosti kishtanda la mahasatande. Mendela mahasotonde brosti kishtonde mandala mahashiki. See, I've been given the prayer language. You can have it. But it's decently in an order, and it's supernaturally natural. I don't burst out in tongues in the middle of my husband's preaching. Either do you. That would be out of order. It's supernaturally natural. It's in order. I didn't fly around the room and foam at the mouth when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. I didn't fall down. Nothing happened to me. There was no lightning bolt. There was no, you know, heaven opened and I heard the angels singing. No, I went home and prayed and one little word came out of my mouth. Supernaturally natural. But I'll tell you this, the Word of God came alive. I began to open the book again and the book opened me. I began to see things I never saw. All of a sudden it was like somebody turned a light on in my spirit. And I could hear the Spirit of God and be taught the Word of God like I've never been taught the Word of God. Expect the supernatural naturally. In other words, you're not going to turn into some weird fairy berry person. And this church is not going to foam at the mouth and look for demons and doorknobs. But we are going to naturally, supernaturally exist. Case in point, precious woman, I got to quit. Precious woman, her name is Vivian. Vivian has raised 30 plus foster kids. Every one of those kids have gotten saved here at the church. Vivian had a disease. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk or move. She got up out of that wheelchair. She's a miracle in process. She's amazing. Vivian, beautiful, beautiful woman. She came up to me Thursday after girlfriends, Dr. Vanessa, and she said, oh, Pastor Debbie, she said, I just have been meaning to send you this great big card and just thank you for all you've done for me. And I just did this, you know, look like, you know, deer and headlights, huh? She says, you don't remember what you did? And I said, no, what'd I do? She said, well, 3 years you prayed for me. Well, it was like, oh, okay, well, gee, didn't remember that. And she said, and when you prayed for me, I had a list of miracles that I needed God to do. I had a list of things. I was just in so much trouble here, here. I needed this in my body. I needed this for the kids. She said, you prayed for me, and God just systematically began to do everything you prayed for. She said, it was a miracle. I didn't remember I'd even prayed for her. It was just a moment in my life connecting with another believer that God wanted to use and bring miracles and gifts through my life, my simple little life. Didn't even know it was really happening that much. And here, 3 years later, I get the testimony of it. It means that this is a supernaturally natural life, that you may just gently pray for somebody at work. They're going to get healed. It means so many things, but it means we are supernaturally natural people every day of our lives. So what do we need? We need to believe God if we're going to live this life. Believe for it. Stir yourself back up. He is a God of wonders, signs, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're gifts. He wants to give them to the church so that the church can give them to the hurting and the broken. These gifts aren't for us. They're for the people, our families, our tribes, the people we love, our nation, the world. God wants to bless people. He loves people. And you are a living, walking epistle of Jesus Christ on this planet. You are the body of Christ, and He's going to flow through you. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, but you are sitting in those seats. And God wants you to speak the word, and he will confirm it with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.